Thank you very much. It's always nice to follow Gilbert. I don't have to adjust this mic. It's right where it needs to be. So I definitely appreciate that. I really do hope that your Sabbath has been a good one. I hope you've gotten more rest and less stress than I've had, which it's always interesting whenever I speak. There's always something to think about and do. You know, it was a while back, oh, it might have been 2 years ago, that I saw a news report, one of those 2020 type shows. And one of my few TV personalities that I actually like, John Stossel, did a report. And what he did is he went around to these schools. He started in the kindergarten and worked all the way up to high school. He went all over the nation, East Coast, West Coast, down South, Midwest. He asked everyone the same question. He says, of all the problems in the world, what's absolutely the number one problem in the world? If you could change one thing, what would it be? And every student that he asked this question had the same answer. Global warming. Global warming. Even though there's no proof of global warming, even though those same scientists that talk about it 5 years before were saying we're entering an ice age. And so why is it? Why can all of these people, not based on solid facts, in deference to obvious things like man's nature, wars, famine, why can this one answer pop up? The answer would be because faith comes by hearing. Have you ever wondered how it is that intelligent people, highly educated, trained in logic, like many of these scientists are, can believe in evolution, or evolution as a friend of mine calls it, when it's so illogical, the science doesn't back it up, and yet, one by one, they will believe it. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Have you ever wondered, how is it that the German people could ever have come to this conclusion that it's good, it's right, it's moral, it's just to kill every one of these Jews? Where did that come from? How could they think that way? Because faith comes by hearing. Have you ever wondered why peer pressure is so powerful? Why we have to be as parents so concerned about it? It's because faith comes by hearing. Did you ever wonder, literally, in real terms that you and I could relate to, how could David walk right out there and tell Goliath, not only am I going to win, you're going down and I'm going to taunt you, you know? I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed you to the birds. How could he do that? How could he walk out there with utter confidence? Because faith comes by hearing. This concept of building faith, it's a process. And it's like a living law, like the law of gravity. It just works. And whatever, it'll work for something that's true, and it'll work for something that's false. Whatever we hear, whatever we think about, whatever we spend our time on, will grow. The more you hear something, the more you believe it. If you go to the Middle East, you go to Iran, you ask them, what's the most important thing to happen on earth? They'd say, every Jew die. They have been told. We recognize this as a truth when we study the concepts of like the Hatfields and McCoys. These concepts, if something gets repeated over and over again, it just is believed. You know, the propaganda guru for Hitler was a man by the name of Goebbels. And they asked him, well, how do you tell a people a lie? How do you get people to believe a lie? And he says, well, it's easy. You tell them that lie, if you tell them often enough, loud enough, and if you start early enough, they will believe anything I want them to believe. Because faith comes by hearing. So I have a question. If faith comes by hearing, can a deaf man hear? Or are they just lost? If you can't hear, if you're deaf, is there no chance for you to have faith? Well, obviously, when the Bible talks about hearing, it's talking about something other than the sound waves penetrating an eardrum and a signal being sent to the brain. What God is talking about is something much more than that. He's talking about something that is more than just knowledge accumulation. It's even something more than just reading the Bible over and over again. Our Father who in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. It's more than that. It's more than just repetition. It's more than just knowledge. Hearing has to do with understanding, comprehending, seeing and understanding how it applies to our lives in every aspect. This is the type of hearing that God talks about. It's like a parent who says to his child, do you hear what I'm saying? We're not really asking, do you hear words or sounds? We're asking, do you comprehend what I'm saying? Do you get the gravity of this situation or this message? Do you really understand what I'm trying to communicate to you? When you hand your daughter the keys to a 2,000-pound missile, when I say, do you understand? You need to be safe. You need to drive safely. I still wonder, does she get it? That she could kill herself, she could kill someone else. Life could become very bleak in an instant. Does she really get it? Does she hear what I say when I say, be careful? It's way different than I say, oh, don't spill that water. So God wants to know, are we going to hear? When we really hear the words of God, then faith can grow. So I don't know if you know this or not. You have already heard something. I don't know what it is. But deep down in your heart, you have already heard a message. Now, I don't know if it's the message God wanted you to hear, but it's stuck inside of you. I'd like to kind of talk about the law of expectation. And I'll start by telling you a story about two farmers. Two farmers who live in the same area, go to the same church, read the same Bible, spend the same amount of time praying and studying. And they desperately, desperately need rain. Their farms are about to go under if they don't get rain. So they both go and pray for an hour, and then one gets up and turns on channel 78 to watch the weather station to see if God will send the rain. The other farmer gets up and goes out and starts plowing his fields. Same people, same Bible, same environment, but two different actions, because they have fundamentally deep down inside two different expectations. One, I ask you, which one has faith? Which one has real faith, living faith? You know, there's a member in the church. I don't know him really well, but I always love every chance I get to spend a little time with him and talk to him. And you can't talk to him for very long, and you will see an expectation come out in the things he says, the way he reasons. I remember my wife was kind of whining and complaining and saying we might have to skip coming to church every now and then just to save money because gas is so expensive. And he laughs. He says, oh, I got an easy solution to that. Just tell Dan to charge more money for the windows. You know, he didn't think in terms of woe is me, life is so hard. If you talk to him, he says, oh yeah, that could happen. Oh well, God will help you get back up. Don't worry about it. He just doesn't worry about stuff. And it dawned on me, what a breath of fresh air. This is someone who literally sees God as a kind, loving, generous, helpful God. Oh, you will have ups and downs. He's had scrapes and bumps. But when he falls down, he doesn't ask, why did God do this to me? He's looking around to see how's God going to pick him up, brush off his knee, put the iodine on it, bandage it up, and then give him a few more instructions so he might avoid the pain the next time. What a wonderful example it is. It's a joy to be around him. And I treasure every minute I can spend with him just because of that perspective. It's one that I can really learn from. And I'm trying. And I notice that he lives a life without fear. I think it's because he sees this generous, great, and wonderful God. You know, so many times, the things we think are the things that come to pass. If you'll remember the ancient Israelites, when they were coming out of Egypt, they were complaining, says, oh, why'd you bring us out here? Did you bring us out here to kill us and let us rot in the desert? At the end of the story, what happened? They rotted and died in the desert. None of them went into the promised land, save two. So what they thought, their expectation, became reality. So I have a question. Where are we in terms of expectation? Which farmer really are we? Honestly, if you take a look at it, do we get up and expect something good to happen or expect something bad to happen? And wherever you feel like you really are, it doesn't matter because you can change it. It's changeable. You can choose to be which farmer you want. It's a choice. But it's important to take an honest look. Really, what is our paradigm? Fundamentally, deep down inside, what do we think? How do we think of God? Do we really think he's going to love us and bless us and just wants to pour out every good thing, both now and in the future? What is our expectation? So I'd like to use the rest of the time we have today to discuss a common pitfall to our ability to hear and a very practical hearing aid, something that will help us to hear God's message a little more plainly, a little more consistently, and especially to hear it in times of need. I'd like to begin dealing with pain and suffering. It's often that when we are in pain and suffering and under a trial, that we sometimes stumble in our ability to be faithful. When everything's going well, it's easy to say, oh yeah, God's a good God, I serve him, I worship him, rah, rah, rah. But when we're really hurting, when we look and we can make no sense out of what we're looking at, what's happening in our lives, then it gets a lot more difficult. One of the first things we want to do is we want God to explain himself to us. We want him to make sense of it. And I think it's so important to understand that not all things need to be explained. We're told that we see through, at best, a glass darkly. It's not life's job to make everything make sense to me. So I think it's usually a wrong question to say, why? Maybe it's just, what should I do? What do you want me to do, God? Don't assume that God Almighty should be more interested in giving us an explanation than he is in being worshipped and trusted. One of the things that makes pain and suffering such a common pitfall for us is that the three enemies of faith are often all present at the same time. When we are really in pain and suffering and going through a trial, fear is often there, human reasoning often surfaces, and we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt God's nature, his way. So that's one of the things that makes it hard. And then the time. Some things just go on and on and on. And it erodes and erodes at our faith. You know, a lot of people talk about the book of Job and they think that it's only about self-righteousness. But I would say to you that I think it's a book about a man who's struggling with his faith. You know, in the very beginning of Job, in chapter 3 and verse 25, he says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I dreaded has happened to me." You see, when it starts out and Satan accuses him and wants to attack him and God gives permission and he wipes all these things out from Job, wipes out his kids, wipes out his wealth, his animals, and takes all of that, Job's fine. Job starts out and says, you know what? Naked I came to the earth, naked I go out. Praise be to God, he's given me all these blessings. But now we find this fear surfaces. And what I want to do is just take a contextual look at the book of Job, some of the things that are happening and what we can learn. So he starts out and then we see this fear surface. Then a little bit later on, there's the human reasoning. And it starts with his wife who says, curse God and die. Then his friends come along one by one. And their advice is too long for me to go through and read all of it now. But basically they say, hey, look, there's a cause and effect. You got all this calamity. You did something wrong. Fess up, buddy. You're out of whack. You have great big sins hidden. You know, we thought you were better than us, but really, we're a lot more righteous than you. They started entering this human reasoning. And with time and with those things eroding on him, you see that Job's attitude and his thinking begins to change. He starts questioning God. He starts demanding, why is this happening? Show me the cause, God. He starts then wishing for death and saying, man, it'd be great to be in the grave and I'll make my abode with the worms. So doubt is creeping in. He's lost that perspective of how kind and wonderful God is. When you start thinking that you want to have death, you've lost the perspective that allows that faith and confidence to exist within you. You know, and what's interesting then you have chapter after chapter after chapter where God begins to reveal himself again to make Job to refocus his thinking. There are chapters explaining how God set the plumb line, designed the universe, created the earth, where he set the boundaries of inanimate things. He provided for everything. He told the ocean how far it can go and where it needs to stop. And when it evaporates, he has a storehouse of water to refill the oceans. He starts explaining all of his ways, all the ways that he's calculated and cared for and planned for and contingency plans. And the animals, how he not only provides them food, he provides them mates. He knows when one falls, when one lives, when one is born. He even clothes them and adorns them. They're not just covered, but he made them beautiful. He begins to explain how great and marvelous. And Job is just bright enough. This retrains his thinking. And he's made aware of simple truths that are so deep and so beneficial. He begins to comprehend that misfortune does not equal abandonment. That God's number one priority is spiritual blessing, not physical blessing. He begins to understand that it's a mistake to ask God to justify his actions to you. It's man's job to justify himself to God, to explain his actions to God. You know, in the book of Job, it says that he, speaking of God, is worthy to be trusted to sustain you to the end. This he began to see more clearly. By the end, Job says, now my ears hear and my eyes see. The same terminology. He began to really see and really hear, really began to comprehend that God, if he can care for, equip, and take care of inanimate things, the animals, he surely can take care of you. He can take care of you in times of plenty and in times of sorrow. Job began to see that this was foolish to ever doubt God's intentions, to ever call into question God's kindness, lovingness, his desire to bless Job, to take care of him, to comfort him. It was foolish to think this way. Also in the book of Job, it says this, no plan of God's can be thwarted. There is no power that can come in the way or can come between God and his child. Way more precious, way more protective than a mother bear and a cub is God with his children. And his children are you and me, each and every one. It's foolish to think anyone or anything could ever come between God and his affection and his plans for each and every one of us. It's just foolish to think anything else. And Job began to see this, and his attitude changed in a hurry. He had to repent of ever doubting God's benefit, God not even trusting God, not understanding completely that God has his best interests at heart. Now, in the military, we understand that sometimes you can take broken people, you can tear them down, and you can build them up and make them stronger and more confident than they were. Now, the Army doesn't always get that right, and they don't do a great job of building you up. But rest assured, when you go through hard times, when God tears you down, he will build you up. He will make you better than you ever were. And he did that with Job. Not only was Job restored physically, and his blessings increased, his children, the same number of children brought back, but the Bible even takes time to mention that the daughters were more beautiful than any others. I think he's sending a message that he's going to build you back and give you back more than what you lost. And the other thing that Job had, he had a faith that was much stronger than it ever was before. So as we go through the hard times, as we go through the pitfalls of pain and suffering, there is a God that we can trust. And we can trust him, whether we're going through small pains or Job-sized pains. He is there just the same and all the more so. Each and every step of the way. We are never left alone. We're never left without hope. So in times of testing and trouble, how can we hear better? How can we make sure that we don't lose our sight as to the nature and the character of God? How can we not stumble when we get tested? Which we will. And I'd like to say that you can do that simply by making a habit of remembering God's marvelous works. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and beginning in verse 8, I want to just highlight a few verses. This is where there's a celebration going on. There's a commencement address, if you will, where King David is talking about how excited he is. He's talking because they are bringing the ark into Jerusalem and putting it in the tabernacle. This is a great and wonderful time. And here are some of the things that David says. In verse 8, he says, make known his deeds among the people. In verse 12, remember his marvelous works which he has done. Verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Not monthly, not yearly, day to day. Verse 24, declare his wonderful works among all the people. Verse 34, O give thanks unto the God, for he is good. Now, if I were to ask you to name who in all the Bible is the top 10 in terms of praising God, giving God glory, worshiping God, you might very well say David. If I asked you who is one of the most faithful people who will not shirk no matter what the circumstances, you might say David. And what I'm offering out to you that these are not coincidental, that these are related. Your ability to praise God, your ability and choice to remember every good thing that God does, to say it, to sing it, to praise it, to tell it to people, is related to your ability to trust God. If you'll remember, when David went out to fight Goliath, he mentioned, God helped me with the bear, he helped me with the lion, he helped me with the wolf. This Philistine will be no different. This Gentile will be no different. Because David never forgot all of the things that God did for him. He might have moments, but he would always come back to praising God and going through the list. He didn't forget every one of those miracles God did. He never let it dry up. Therefore, he had something to draw on when, humanly speaking, the strength would sap out of him, the knees would knock, the spit would dry up because you can't believe what I'm about to go do. But if you've remembered, if you've drawn, then you have something to take with. So I think it's very important to keep that in mind. Now, if you are really hearing the message that I'm trying to deliver to today, you will know that when I say remember the marvelous works that God has done, I'm talking about much, much, much more than the things God did for David or for Saul or for Abraham. I'm talking about the things he's done for you and friends you know and people you know and other people in the church. Do we remember each and every prayer that God answers? Have we internalized it so that we walk with a huge cloud of witnesses and confidence behind us? Because we can know in a way that no one else could ever explain, no one can ever take away. Someone could try and deny the veracity of the Bible, but you would know what you know. You would know what God did for you. That is a faith that will endure and keep you through whatever God has in store. That's the type of faith you can live by. That's the type of faith you can thrive with. It sustains you. It helps you to grow. So I'm saying to remember all of it, everything that's in the Bible, everything God has ever done for you, everything he's done for people who tell their stories. If you bring up the subject of birth and I'm around and I say, oh, did I tell you? If you see my daughter, she will roll her eyes like, oh, Dad, don't do that again. Because I've told the story about how Hannah was born and how we had Emily anointed and all the miracle things that happened. I tell it over and over and over again. And I really don't care if she rolls her eyes. She's going to hear it until I die. And I think that's a good thing. Have you ever wondered why did God say, like with keeping the holy days, remember these days, don't forget what I did? It's because it's to our benefit. It's to help us. It's to encourage us. I'm saying to do this daily more than anything else you do. Think on the things that God's done. Ask and pray for eyes to see, ears to see how God is involved in your life. What is he doing? What does he want to do? Where is he involved in someone else's life? Help you to remember. I try to go to sleep, fall asleep thinking of the things God did for me, the answered prayers. Maybe you need to get a journal, then get a journal. Maybe you like to sing songs, then put the miracles God did in songs. How much of the Psalms is just David doing that simple thing? Taking what God did and putting it in songs because that's how he's wired. However you're wired, find a way to remember and honor and praise God for all the things he does. This is how we begin to hear. This is how we begin to remember that God is great and that he loves us. Now, God does not want praise to stroke his ego. He wants us to praise him because it builds our faith. God does not delight in worship and giving him thanks because he wants the pat on the back. He wants us to do that and he delights in it because he knows that that feeds our faith and our ability to trust him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing is a choice. It's a choice that we can make each and every day. I say actively choose to hear. Be intentional in your efforts to remember the wonderful works God has done for you. Be intentional, on purpose, remember the answered prayer. On purpose, think when you go to work, when you wash the dishes, when you go to school, think of what God has done for you. Think about how much he loves you. Think about that reality, that there's no one that he doesn't care passionately for. There's nothing he won't do to help you, to build you up. If you have to, write it in a journal. Why not try and do everything? And when you go, just make sure that you have a way of remembering that God has a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, to bless you, to love you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing is a choice. So choose wisely.